And we are going to be talking about wisdom and the tongue. So at the introduction, you'll see, seen on its tombstone in an English churchyard, beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. So that's quite the epitaph. The tongue is a very powerful thing. Tongues build empires and tear down cities. Tongues make marriages and tear apart homes. So James says, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And once said, words cannot be taken back. It takes great wisdom to learn to control one's tongue. Remember, wisdom, we've been talking about wisdom. What is wisdom? It's spiritual skill, putting God's word in practice, going beyond the law. So it's not just knowing the law, knowing the letter of the law. It's going beyond the law to see what God's will is. That's wisdom. And Proverbs, of course, has a great deal to say about the tongue and its use. So here's a couple of references. Proverbs 17:14, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. And then Proverbs 18:19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions like the bars of a citadel. So that's quite an opening warning. So then, a proposition for this lesson. Wisdom demands control of the tongue. So the way I set this up, we're going to do, like I've given you blanks again. I just never know how. I'm not settled on doing this whole study. I'm revamping an old study. This is things I did years and years ago. And then when I try to translate it into what I'm doing now, I find what I was doing then seems weird to me. So, anyway, point number one, potent words. When you speak, be aware and beware. So the idea is that words have power. So that's the thing. So we're going to look at a great many verses in Proverbs that speak about the tongue. Proverbs has a lot to say about this. And I'm going to sort of belabor the point. I'm going to quote many of these verses. And you need to know that since this is such a major concept of wisdom, that there is much that God has to say about it, and not just in Proverbs. So I'll give you each one of the blanks. We're not going to try to have you read my mind. I'll just give you the blank. Okay? So you can just write it down and be very comfortable with that. But I'm going to give you a lot of Proverbs. And so what I want you to do as we look through these Proverbs and the concept that I'm laying out at the beginning, sometimes there's going to be one or two verses for the point. Sometimes there'll be many. But that's where the discussion will be. What do these Proverbs mean? How do they apply to the point I'm trying to make? That's what we want to talk about today. Okay, so the inescapable power of speech. This one just has one verse, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So, what about that wisdom? Anybody want to comment on that verse and see, put it in their own words, or is there something there that stands out to you? There's something that jumped out to me as I read that, but I'll wait and see what you say. Anybody wants to contribute? We have any voices? Yes?
Well, that could go either way, either good or bad, depending on what you say or how you say it. Like you said, be aware and beware.
Right. So it is, that's right. So it can go either way. That's a good point. Okay, so when we're talking about a lot of these Proverbs, wisdom, okay, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, there could be wisdom. If you love the wisdom, there could be great profit, great fruit in that voice, in what is said. All right, so death and wisdom are in the power of the tongue. But those who love it will eat its fruit. It's also the fact that this is the thing that spoke to me. You will bear the fruit of your own tongue. Okay? It's not just that you're going to pass it on to others, you know, your wisdom. You'll pass on your wisdom to others. You might, but you will bear the fruit of your own tongue. All right, any other comments on that one? We've got lots more. We can move on. Okay. So no hands waving. I didn't see any anyway. Did you wave your hand, Tola?
Yes, I wanted to say something.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. Like far back home, I remember my late mother used to say, a good word brings blessing.
Yes.
To the hearer and to the person that is saying it. But a bad word shakes people away from you.
Right.
Friends.
Right.
So I don't know whether...
Oh, well, that fits in with the concept. A good word brings blessing and a bad word pushes away friends, right? Yeah, so that fits with the concept. There is a power. All right, Daryl, you want to add something?
Well, just the love part, well, to love it, because you can kind of love the effect of your own word.
Yeah, yes. Yes, I know that feeling. And actually, those who speak or write, that's a real problem. Because you get that rush when people listen. And it's very interesting because I write online, as you know. I write for our blog, the Proclaim and Defend blog. And the last two times I've posted a piece, one of the really big popular blogs in the Christian world picked up my article. I said, ooh, pretty cool. I was bragging about it to everybody. See, I love my words. All right, so, all right. Yes. Okay, so, the power of speech on those who hear. The power of speech on those who hear. So here's, okay, we got lots of verses for this one. So this one's going to, so we're just going to work through. And if you, we may make brief comments. We don't have to comment on every one. But as you think about what the Proverbs is saying, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. So the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. The mouth of the wicked conceals violence. How does that affect those who hear? I guess you can see for the righteous, it produces life in others. And the wicked conceals violence, so it causes trouble and distress. All right. And if you want to jump in, I'm going to just go through a couple. And then as we maybe pause here at some point and see if you want to add something. With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor. And through through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. And these are sort of opposites, aren't they? In the parallelism. So but there is the effect. See, the point of this is the power of speech on those who hear. So there's an effect of the words on the hearer. That's the main thing we want to see in these Proverbs. Right, and then Proverbs 11:11. So the blessing of the upright is by the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked it is torn down. So again, the power of speech on those who hear. Okay, I will fill up the screen and then we'll pause, unless you want to interrupt me. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Right, so there's again, these opposites. And then anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. All right. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. So the good word speaks to the man, affects the hearer. All right. Any comments on those or anything that you'd like to talk about? Questions you might have on those verses?
Gordon. No question, but just the truthfulness of it. Right? And I've noticed in whatever news I've heard in the past months,
yes.
Right? The mouth of the godless,
yeah,
that's a mark.
Yes,
of ungodliness is just yeah. Destruction.
Yes, yeah, and that is on many fronts.
Yes.
Even people that we agree with politically.
Yeah. Yes,
yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's one of the reasons I'm very cautious about putting any kind of, credence in these people that are so prominent on our television screens. All right, so any other comments on these verses? Ready to move on to the next set? There's more for this. This is just the first few. All right, so we'll fill up the screen with some more. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to turn aside from the snares of death. So there's an effect of speech on those who hear, brings life, turns them aside from death. Right? And then we have a truthful witness saves lives, but he who utters lies is treacherous. And then a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. All right, any comments on these verses? Any thing that sticks out at you from these? I've got about, I forget, about three more that will come up on the other side of the screen. Okay, no, all right. These aren't very controversial, I guess, these parts of wisdom. A man who has joy in an apt answer, how delightful and how delightful is a timely word, says Proverbs. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And then finally, a worthless man digs up evil while his words are like scorching fire. So I think it's pretty obvious that speech, the way we speak, has a profound effect on people who hear us speak. They can, our speech can cause great trouble, great division, but it can also bring great blessing. All right, any comments on that? Anything else that you'd like to add to the power of speech on those who hear? And I was wondering how fast this would go because of the way this is set up. I have two parts to this study, and I thought, should I do the second part in, just make it one? Maybe I should have. All right, Debbie.
Well, I don't know, but I guess as I'm looking through those, it would be nice to have all of the good stuff in one line and all the bad stuff.
All the good stuff in one line and all the bad stuff in another.
Well, then you can say, I aspire to this, and I...
Yeah, well, that would involve being organized, which, as you know, I am not. All right, the power of speech on those who hear. But we do want to note that speech affects the people who hear the speaker. Okay, so that means our speech affects other people. We have to think about how to say things. I remember one time years ago I was. Back when I was selling real estate. So I was going to an appointment. It was actually over on Albert Head Road out in the Chosen. And this guy, he was sort of talking to me about selling his house. I think he was trying to sell it by himself. And he was sort of combative. I had met him somehow. All I remember is heading to his house and saying, okay, so how am I going to say what I need to say here? Because the guy was the kind of guy that... He sort of just like, he wanted you to fight him. And so you had to think of how to say things so that he would listen. That was quite challenging. I don't remember what I said. I don't remember what the issue was. I just remember driving there thinking, I got to think about how to talk to this guy. So, and I did get the listening, I think, eventually. So, whatever. The power of speech on those who hear. Okay. The power of speech on the speaker. Okay, so now we're going to turn it around. This is your own speech on your own self. Okay. An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will escape from trouble. Okay, so there is an effect on the speaker from the speech. And then truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. So the way you speak, it creates a reputation for you. Right? And you might think there's an advantage to telling a lie, but it's only for a moment, and it will destroy whatever your truthful lips has established. All right, yes, Tola.
Please, I want to take you back to the power of speech on those who hear.
Sure.
It's not only what we speak.
Yes.
Even what we write.
Yes, what we write.
On social media.
Yes.
Even as a text message to other
sure.
people.
Yeah.
I think we should be aware
right.
of what we write on social media.
Yes.
That create violence, that create trouble.
Yes.
That discourage people. I even make some people to go and commit suicide.
Yeah.
Not only what we speak.
Yeah.
This time.
All right. So that's a very good admonition. She's making the application that we should not. It's not only what we speak with our mouth, but what we write with our fingers. Right on. And she's bringing up social media, which. Can be very destructive. And I remember years and years ago having, you know, when the email first came in and how convenient it was to talk to people. But then how some people who were out of sorts, if you said, wrote them something, and they were mad, they often would take what you said the wrong way. And they would make it bigger than what it was and come back at you with a flaming response. And of course you see that in the comment section. If a news site has comments, and I sometimes look at it, I don't know why I do. Okay? Because it's all people insulting each other. And, or saying about the person in the article, saying terrible things about them. And like, as if this is going to change the world by making these stupid comments. But it does cause division, and that can, as Ptolemy mentioned, it can lead, in some cases, as far as somebody committing suicide, that, how they feel about it. So, a couple of lessons maybe. Don't read the comments, number one. But anyway, but guard your speech, right? And that includes what we write. Okay, so, alright, so on the power of speech on the speaker. Okay, so I'll give you the next verse here. From the fruit of a man's mouth he enjoys good, but the desire of the treacherous is violence. Isn't that interesting? Okay, I mean, everybody would say, well, I want a good life. But if you are committed to evil, to treachery, to following the wrong path, what you get from that is violence, not the good. From the fruit of the man's mouth, he enjoys good. But the desire of the treacherous is violence. And if it produces strife, it is not good speech. All right, next one. And it's not good for you. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back. Okay, so it's like he's beating himself up. It's not like his words beat himself up, but the beating he gets, he brings on himself, is what he's saying. And the lips of the wise will protect them. Okay, so that's the other side of that coin. All right, any other comments on these verses? I'm just sort of doing a monologue today. Marlene. Yeah.
Not listening. That isn't love.
Yeah.
Caring. I mean, we're putting ourselves before them, and no wonder they come back with the same, we're not helping at all.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that's a very good observation. So obviously, we don't all agree on everything. Because you don't all agree with me. I noticed that. And that's, I know that you're wrong, but. Okay, but here's the thing. Of course we don't agree with everything. But if, and Marlene is saying, if we challenge those we disagree with, all we get is a pushback. And it's, used to be illustrated, maybe in a slightly different context, but if you are trying to push someone to do something, push them forward in a line, there's almost a natural tendency to resist the push. Right? Or to push back. Right? But if you take somebody's hand and say, come on, let's go, you try to lead, it's much easier. Now, they don't always follow, especially little children. But anyway, that ruins my illustration. Okay, but the thing is, there is a resistance to the push. And so, when we have a difference, the way to approach the difference is to try to understand what's going on. We need to talk. We need to ask questions. We need to seek to understand before we try to make changes or make any comments, I think. And so the power of speech on the speaker, it can affect us a great deal. All right, so I'm going to, yes, I see hands. Who's got the hand? Okay, Lee, go ahead.
That rod in 14:3, is that any similarity to Isaiah 11:1? Like, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse.
Well, it's probably the same word. It means a stick, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's probably the same word, but it's not related to that passage because it's a different context. Okay? Augustine.
I don't know where it relates to. What I know is good to match words with comportment.
Yes.
With dressing.
Yes.
With everything. I know of someone that when you, the comportment, the speech, and what he says in the workplace, then without that person knowing, someone told a lie against that person, and even before that person spoke or speak in any way, we saw close to almost 3-4 people saying no,
right.
Didn't lie.
Yeah, yeah.
That thing did not happen from this person.
Right.
I think it has to do with the comportment, with this, or everything that person
right.
is saying.
Well, there's a lot to our communication, more than just even the words, right?
Yeah.
There's the way we carry ourselves, the way we dress. And it is interesting that, you know, on average, a lot of times in the church these days, there's an emphasis on being casual. Okay? Now, in our culture here, everybody dresses casual. Pretty well, okay? Now, and so it has translated into the church. Into the church. Now, is there a law that says you must dress up as much as possible to come to church? No, there isn't. Right? There's no law. But it is interesting how our culture, it used to be that men would wear coats and ties to go to baseball games. You know that? Go back and look at some pictures from the 1930s and 40s of baseball game stadiums. You'll see men with coats and ties and fedoras, you know, like they're got a baseball game, not ball caps, right? So that there's a difference in our society. I'm not sure it's all good, but comportment accompanying our words, that has, there is something to that. All right, Crystal.
And my mother, who would be in her 90s now if she were still living.
Yes.
She dressed in her Sunday best to go to the grocery store.
Yes, I know. You didn't go out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, you go work in your garden in your grungies, but not anywhere out in town, right? That's right. Okay, yes.
That's why the adage comes in that dress the way you would be addressed.
Yeah.
If you dress anyhow, people address you anyhow.
Yeah.
But if you dress decently, people address you decently. Even now.
Yeah, well, there is a sense, and it does give some weight to your words, too. Now, okay, so we're sort of getting off here. I don't know how I got us off. It's my fault. So, anyway, so let's move on here to the next verses. It's just something that occurred to me. It's something from, I guess, Augustine started. I will blame Augustine. He started it. Okay, so, he who has a crooked mind finds no good, and he who is perverted in his language falls into evil. So interesting. Okay, so when you speak perverse language, you will fall into evil. So it's not just that you're evil and you speak perversely, but perversity in speech will lead you into evil, is what the proverb is saying, I believe. All right, so then, a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So that's the statement there. All right. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. So that one you could take both ways too. You know, with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. Sometimes his stomach will have a bitter lunch or supper because of what he said. All right. So the power of speech on the speaker. Now, before we go on, I want to give you an illustration, and I guess I put this in the thing here. Illustration. It's Captain Bligh. So. When we were kids, we used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Ever hear that? How many of you ever said that? Okay? All right? And I don't know if kids these days, play on the playground as much as we used to. And we used to have fights. Oh, the neighbor kids. And this line came up. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Then they'd start throwing the sticks and stones. That's what happened in our neighborhood. Anyway, so, but how many of you have seen the movie Mutiny on the Bounty? How many of you ever seen that movie? A few of you? It's an old movie. Kids these days, they don't see these old classics, right? Have you heard the story? Okay. In the 1800s, there was this British Navy ship. Its mission was to go into Tahiti, I think it was, to collect breadfruit and bring it back to England as a cargo for some reason, or bring it somewhere. And they had this captain, Captain Bligh. In the movie, he is portrayed as a tyrant and a brutal dictator, and causing men to be flogged for no reason and things like this. All right. So, but the reality is different from the movies, it's interesting. Captain Bligh was actually a student of Captain Cook. Both men were very concerned about the welfare of their men. They instituted measures to preserve the health of their men and the smooth running of their ships. And the I picked up a biography of Captain Bligh one time down at the Maritime Museum, and it's basically set the record straight about Captain Bligh. He was, in many respects, a very good captain. He was exonerated at a court-martial after the incident. So he wasn't condemned. Of course, in popular fiction, they want to make it out that he was just this brutal man. And in fact, the fact is, he was not an overbearing disciplinarian. He had the power, as captain, to punish with the lash. Okay, so he could have a man tied to the yardarm, and he could have him beaten. All right? But he used it less than other sea captains of his day. That's not the impression you get from the movie. But what was his problem? Why was his leadership so intolerable that his men, many of his men, decided to mutiny and steal the ship? Why? Well, it was his tongue. When he and his ship left Tahiti with their cargo, ship's discipline had to be reimposed. A biographer makes this comment. With no curious islanders looking on, sometimes grieving when punishment was meted out, and drawing unpredictable conclusions, he could impose a simpler order into his within his wooden world, furthering his mission at the same time whipping his officers back into shape. The men must relearn discipline while he relaxed his. And the goad for ship's discipline was his tongue, the deepest effects of which he was never aware. So I've always been impressed by that statement. It was Captain Bligh's tongue that caused the most trouble in his life. All right, so then, powerless words, when it is no use to speak. So we're going to talk about this category, and this will wrap up our time this morning. Okay, so words from a fool. Words from a fool are powerless words. So two verses here. Like the legs which are useless to the lame, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Okay, so that's where, you know, somebody who's truly irresponsible and a fool, and some disaster happens, they come and tell you some wise advice. It's like, you know, don't talk to me. I don't want to hear you. All right, like a thorn which falls into the hand of a drunkard, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. It's just an irritant. Okay? All right, any comments on those that concept?
Not sure I understand.
You're not sure you understand. Which one?
Well, I'm going to say, how can you put up with us?
How can I put up with you?
You're saying so somebody who you don't respect saying a proverb.
Right.
It's a waste of time. That's
it's a waste of time. There's no effect. Like you probably had something happen and somebody comes along with a wise word and you know that they're just trying to, you feel like they're just trying to dig at you.
Okay.
Or else, you know, like, who are you to talk? You know, kind of thing. Yeah, that's what we mean. Okay. All right. Anybody else on that one? Okay, so words from a fool, but then words to a fool. Okay. The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly. Okay? So, you know, he's not going to listen. And then, an evildoer listens to wicked lips, a liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Okay, so there's words to a fool. They're not going to listen to wisdom, in other words. A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. That's quite a contrast. Okay, so, if somebody is wise and you rebuke them, it really affects them. Okay, but if they're a fool, you could beat him 100 times and he's still not learning anything. Alright, one more. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Okay, so words to a fool are ineffective. Any comments on this one or powerless? Powerless words, yes. Any comments on that?
Sometimes a very wise person, according to the world's standards, you cannot speak to them.
Right.
The words of true wisdom.
Right, that's right.
Are not heard.
That's right.
Pearls before swine.
That's right. That's another proverb, pearls before swine. And that fits in with speaking to you know, the wise of this world, they're often the wise of this world, are the fools before God, right? So, and that the point is that, you know, at some point, sometimes it's not even worth it. And so I look at these online. Like I saw something the other day. Somebody made some comment, and I thought, I ought to straighten that person out. I thought, what's the point? Like, what's the point? Right? Words to a fool. Okay. All right. And then, of course, I wasn't the fool in that illustration. I want you to notice that. Words with no follow-through. All right. So what do I mean by that? Like the in all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. So words with no follow-through. I'll be there. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay. Words with no follow-through. All right. So a slave will not be instructed by words alone, for though he understands, there will be no response. Now, so in other words, the idea is that the person, talk is cheap is a proverb in our culture. Okay? Show me by your deeds. So words with no follow through, that's what I mean by that. Any comments on that one? Pardon me?
No. Easier said than done.
Easier said than done, that's right, yes. Yes, and we do need to follow through with our commitments, that's for sure. All right, anybody else have anything else to add? I'm moving very quickly. I get nervous when I'm moving very quickly. All right, last, is this the last? No, two more. Words without truth. Okay, so like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without cause does not alight. Okay, words without truth. Okay, and then if you say, see, we did not know this, does he not consider it who weighs the hearts? Does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to a man according to his work? So again, he's saying that the person who excuses himself, he's saying, is that true? Words without truth. All right. And then when he speaks graciously, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. I probably should have some context with that one. But he is saying that there are such words without truth who do not have effect. And then, though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed. That's the very next verse before the assembly. I feel like we should have verse 24 with those so that I know what we're talking about. So maybe we do have a bit of time. Maybe I should just look that one up. Proverbs 24.
26.
Or 26?
26, 24.
I can't see. It's so far away from my eyes. Okay. Oh yeah, 26, 24. I want verse 24, right. Okay, so verse 24. All right, I'll start with verse 22. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. Like an earthen vessel overlaid with silver dross are burning lips and a wicked heart. He who hates disguises it with his lips, but he lays up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. So it's talking about the whisperer, the one who wants to flatter, the flatterer, but he speaks graciously, he's hiding the truth. And so words without truth, they are really powerless. All right, any comments on that category? All right, and then one more then. Words ill-timed. Just one verse. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice early in the morning, it will be reckoned a curse unto him. How many of you identify with this verse? Okay, my wife this morning called me early. I was not fully awake. She was not well received. I didn't say anything to her. Didn't say anything to her, but I have this opportunity now. Okay. But you know what I'm talking about. There is a time where sometimes it would be better just to wait. Right? Just wait. You'll have your chances. Okay. Wait till I've waken up. Okay. All right. Okay. Any comments on this? Okay. We didn't do too bad. We're only 10 after. I felt like this would go fairly quickly because it's not a very complicated study. I forget how I did it all those years ago because I ended up having two parts, and I think I didn't even finish this last little bit. I had to do it in the second session. So I have no idea how I did that. That was a long time ago.
Sir?
Yes.
This verse, Proverbs 27, is it in all cases?
No, it's not. It's not in all cases. Obviously, there are times when my wife can talk to me nicely in the morning and I'm fine. Okay. Okay. Or whatever. But the thing is, yeah. No, this is a proverb. Remember, it's a proverb. And obviously, there's times when you might have to, when you bless a friend. And notice it says he blesses his friend. It's not he doesn't say anything mean. And I have to say, my wife didn't say anything that mean this morning. Okay? I'm just loving this. Okay, so, but he who blesses his friend with a loud voice early in the morning. Okay, so, he's saying good things. So, in the picture, or the word picture of the proverb here. So what he's saying is there are times when this is true. Even when you're saying something very nice to somebody, that it's just not, they're not ready to hear it. It's not an appropriate time. Whatever. So words ill time. That's the point of this. Darrow.
Well, the loud voice.
Yeah, the loud voice. That's the clue. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, just talk softly. All right. Okay. All right. So we're learning some things from this. We're having a little bit of fun with God's word, but it is wisdom, and they apply generally in life, and it's just a thing to think about as we think about how we speak. So let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll be done for the morning session. Lunch follows, and then the quiz time. So I'm looking forward to that. Saw some of them getting themselves ready, even during the break. So the other teams better be ready. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we've had together today. We pray for your blessing on God's word. I pray that it will work in our hearts and help us to speak fit words at fit times. In Jesus' name, amen.